The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This is the word of God.
Well, hey, we have an opportunity for my friend Price Wright is going to teach from Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. I got to know Price over the last several years. He is a church planter, New City Church in Raytown. They started back in 2019, just before the pandemic. Wonderful time to start a church. It was on everybody's strategy board. Hey, let's start a church when nobody can meet. That'd be a great idea. But the Lord's been good, and Price is a great godly man who has done a phenomenal work planting New City Church there. So over the last couple of years, I've gotten to know Price, and as we've been a part of some of those church planter gatherings and some other things of late. And over the last year, not only have we had this pandemic, not only had we had this crazy political cycle and those sorts of things, but there have been all kinds of racial tension and unrest in our country. And I just knew that instead of, you know, like rushing to social media and trying to say something, because what do I have to say? I knew that I needed to reach out and to talk to some friends so that I could have the posture of a learner. So that I could, just learn from Price. So Price was the first guy that I called. I said, hey, if you'll let me buy you lunch, I would love to ask you questions and just learn from your experience. How ought we as the people of God navigate these times? And so he was gracious enough to do that. You know, in some ways, like adult men, we're not much different than adolescent boys. And food gets you a lot of places. And so we have food and have just been able to spend time over the last several months. So I'm going to pray for Price, and then he's going to teach us from God's word. Father, we pray in this moment that we would hear from you. We need to hear the very voice of God. And we know when we trust you that as we open your word, that's exactly what we'll hear. We will hear your voice because the Spirit of God is going to enliven those words on the page and remind us that they aren't just abstract ideas, but they are the very word of God. We need to have a life-giving word spoken into our souls in this moment. And so we pray that you would empower Price, that you would use him in a significant way to both encourage us and challenge us and spur us on to love Jesus more and to serve you wholeheartedly. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
And so I'm honored to be here because Jason invited me, right? He invited me. We've been building relationship. He told you that he called me and we had lunch. I was shocked to receive the call because I took Jason very seriously. I kind of knew some of his background. I knew Pastor Jason, kind of what he's been doing. And I've heard him speak about the Lord and the gospel. So when he called me and reached out to me, I was shocked, excited. But I knew this is a great moment for us to grow and build as brothers. And I was excited that I didn't feel that thing of, well, this is just a fake moment of you calling me because something's going on. I already had time to build some trust with him in other settings before any of that happened. And so our moment became very real as we gathered together. And so I stand here now just in awe of God for his sovereignty, his providence to lead and direct us where we need to be. The heart of the scripture I'm speaking from today is coming from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which we read a little bit earlier. I'm going to dive into it a little bit, and then we're going to go to a story of Jesus a little later on and how he built trust intentionally with his followers and showed them that he is sovereign, that he controls all things. What I hope that you hear from me today is that I'm a man that trusts in the Lord with all my heart. I do not lean on my own understanding. My flesh desires often to lean on my own understanding, but I have learned and I've worked diligently to just really rest in God. And I find myself back in those circumstances of, man, let me go try to do this. But I've learned it's just so beneficial to just put our hand in God's hand, to open up and say, God, whatever you put in, I take that. Whatever you take out, I take it. And whatever he gives me to manage and to steward, I do my best to do it well. So today, before I get diving into the word, I want to thank God for my wonderful wife, my son. If you all of you wave your hand, my love. It's my wife. She's so amazing. And she never wants a spotlight, but I thank God for her. And my four boys, three of my boys are in the childcare, kid city, or the student area. And I'm really surprised. So obviously you guys got a really great kids program, because my kids have not ran back over here just yet. So thank God for all of those wonderful serving kid leaders. If you serve in Kid City, man, you are awesome, and you have the heart of Jesus. Because if you're dealing with my kids today, y'all make sure y'all give them a pat on the back and tell them, hey, awesome job. You have the power of God. Because my kids, I promise you, they're wonderful. I'll just say that. They are wonderful. Thank God for my mom and my mother and my father who are here with me today. They have always been awesome and always supported me since day one of my church plant, so I thank them. And then my brother Emmanuel, he's also a pastor at our church, who's going to be planting soon, and God has placed him there for us to work together and to build. I just love the culture of this season of life that I'm in, where pastors don't mind sharing information. One of the things that helped me build trust with Jason was his ability and his desire to pour into a pastor that was younger. It took pride and humility for me to come, a lack of pride and humility for me to come and say, man, you've got something I don't got. You've been doing this for years. I was just listening to his story. And as I was hearing his story over the long time that we've been kind of meeting, it's like, man, listen, I need to learn from you. What books do you have I need to read? What do you know about discipleship? What more do you know about it? And he has been feeding me. So he said with his words, he called to learn something. But now I'm learning a whole lot from your pastor, who has been sharing with me just a culture of discipleship, intentionality, planning, and doing all the things that help us be where God wants us to be. I don't want to belabor any longer. Let's go to the word, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which talks about trusting in the Lord. You can find it on the screen. And I'm going to read it from the old text. This is the English Standard Version. And it says this. This is one of my favorite scriptures, by the way. One of my favorite scriptures, written by Solomon. Solomon is speaking to his son. This reminds me of the intentionality I have as I speak to my son. As I read that part, and I said, man, this had to be a powerful moment. These words, the words of life, the words of our Lord speaking through Solomon, have been here in place for us to gather and learn from ever since. They weren't written to us. They're definitely written for us. God blessed us to have these teachings that he gave. And so he starts out by saying, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. And he goes on into more. But he gets to my favorite part. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. He will make straight your paths. This book expresses Jesus as true wisdom. The book of Proverbs expresses that Jesus is true wisdom. If you want to know the connection, well, you're going to bring the gospel, you're going to talk about the good news. I am, actually. I'm definitely going to get there. I'm going to, because the whole thing is about him. But the book of Proverbs helps us. It expresses that Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, the one who died and rose again, he is true wisdom. The book starts off with the words that says, my son, if you want to know real wisdom, you got to know the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want to know where Jesus was? Throughout the whole entirety of the text. So when I'm reading this and it's saying the Lord, trust in the Lord, I'm seeing something very specific from the Hebrew. It says, Batak El Jehovah. Trust in Jehovah, specifically, is the word. Entire reliance and dependence on Jehovah. I was reading through a commentary by one of my favorites, Tony Evans. And as I was reading through this commentary, he explains it's like being in a bed and you're laid out and you're trusting that this bed is not going to break down on you. Me thinking about the bed example and the reliance and dependence of me just laying there on the bed, being comfortable, maybe watching the first 48 or something like that, drinking some iced tea, not worried about the bed falling down and breaking and stuff going everywhere because I'm 250-something pounds. I sit there and I'm on this bed. And I'm like, man, do I trust the Lord so much that I could just lay here And I began reminiscing on myself as a young man with my cousin who had a waterbed that was a little wavy. And as a young man, I would go and I would gather myself and run to jump on the waterbed. But I wasn't too trusting that the bed wouldn't burst and engulf me and then the covers go over and I'd be fighting to get out of it. I was afraid all the time that would happen, but with consistency in the action of stepping out there, I realized I'm okay. I'm okay. I can lay in this bed. I got to the point where I would run and I would jump and turn and just splash in the bed and let it hit me. And life reminds us of that waterbed sometimes, more than just a flatbed, because sometimes it's as if life is kind of shaking us and moving us. But I love the scripture in Matthew we're going to go to today, how God, our Lord and Savior Jesus, is in control of everything, including the elements. And when life doesn't feel very smooth and flat and even, when life feels like it's a little rocky, we know we can trust him. Why? Because we have our ultimate source of authority written by the apostles and the prophets that tells us the very thing that God is trustworthy. We have the Holy Spirit that has brought us to God. John 6:44 says, you can't even know the Lord the right way. You can't know him intimately without the Holy Spirit drawing you. And so we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. We have the ultimate source of authority, the unadulterated word. We have that. But we also have the church, the body of believers who have been moved and transformed and made alive in Christ. And so we come together week after week to encourage and admonish one another. And that admonishment today is, once again, are you trusting in the Lord like I trusted in that waterbed? Are you trusting in the Lord like you trust in your favorite chair that you sit in? Are you trusting in the Lord like you trust in those dollars in your bank account? Because it shouldn't be a like you trust in that. It should be that you trust in the Lord way more than anything that you have. Why? Because he created everything. The way you live should be very open with your hands. And so we go back to the text. He says, entire reliance and dependent on the Lord. Verse 5, in all your ways acknowledge him or submit to him. If you're reading from the NIV version says, in all your ways, submit to him. Obey him. Follow the teachings of the Lord. Don't just, if you believe, you're going to follow. If you believe, you're going to do what God has called you to do. You're going to serve if you believe. There's going to be good fruits produced. The word acknowledge is a Hebrew verb, yada. The word acknowledge means to follow his precepts and his will. And when we follow God's word, when we follow God's will, it directly affects our relationships. The reason I have the relationship I have with Jason is because we've been intentional with connecting. We've been consistent with connecting. And because we're consistent, there's been a friendship that's been built. We can depend and rely on that friendship. When he calls me, he knows I'll answer. If I take a little too long, he'll text me real quick and I get back to him in a quickly timely fashion as I can. Because why? I want to keep trust that, man, I'm going to show up. When he texts me this morning, hey, you need got any notes or anything else you need from me? You know, it was about 7 this morning. We had talked about that. I said, absolutely, I do. Why? Because I wanted to keep trust built. It's called consistency. It's a heavy ingredient of trust. If you, young, old, whatever, if you're here in life and you've been living without building consistent trust in your relationships, you're missing a key ingredient to life. Sometimes you're blocked from doors opening from other people who have authority to put things in your hands because you haven't built trust that you can handle, manage, and navigate and steward well the things that God wants to lay in your lap. God wants you to steward well and navigate and manage what he's given you in your life, but you must be intentional with your relationships. Every healthy relationship takes trust. My wife and I this week will celebrate 15 years of marriage. I know she looks young and she's ultra pretty and I love her, but we've been married for 15 years. And I thank God for that. And I know some of you elders are sitting here like, oh, y'all just in the honeymoon phase. And I get that. But I thank God for the consistency that we've built. I remember a time when I wasn't trustworthy. And I wasn't consistent. Though I've been walking with the Lord since I was young, I had times where I was not consistent with my walk. And the grace of our Lord Jesus had to cover me in those moments where I definitely was not like living the way I needed to be living and following the path I needed to be following. It was the grace of the Lord that kept me from going down pathways that were going to lead to destruction. But because the Lord loved me, he's my father, because I'm his child and I've been born again by the blood of Jesus, I was able to walk right in God by his power and his strength, not by my own strength. In my own power, Price Right would be out there doing something crazy. But by the power of God, I'm following his will, I've planted a church by his power. We're multiplying and making disciples. I'm connecting with great leaders. I'm having opportunities like this. Why? Because God is gracious. Because even though I was a broken sinner, dead in my sins, God made me alive in Christ. Now that I'm alive and I'm trusting God and I'm navigating his will, he's showing me, hey, you can trust me. You can trust me. And I just keep on trusting him more. The ingredients of trust is consistency. Building trust is a process and it takes time. Jesus built trust with his apostles. He spent 3 years building trust and relationship with his apostles. And while he was there with them, a special thing happened in Matthew chapter 14. And in this text, in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, you see Jesus doing some incredible things right here in that specific part. But before we get to the part where he's about to handle the elements, he goes and he handles the surplus and the provision of food. There's 5,000 men, not including women and children. Commentators and other theologians will tell you that there must have been somewhere around 25,000 people there that day. And they had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Jesus did whatever he did. And when I get to his presence, and Lord, what in the world did you do to get those fish and those bread? Like, how did you make the extra baskets? I've never seen a YouTube video that can show me how you did that. How in the world did you do it? I pray one day Jesus will share that with me. But however he did it, he did it. It was something, it was a miracle. It showed that he was in control of everything. The food, provisions, the elements. He was in control of timing, circumstances, situations. He was in control, and he was showing his disciples, you can trust me. Right after that, immediately, it says right here in verse 22. Immediately after doing this miracle, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Some people would say, why would he dismiss the crowds after doing something like that? That was a big old church. Why did he let it go? Jesus didn't entrust himself to the hearts of the people because he knew people. Why? Because he was the Son of God. He was God in flesh. I told you in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So Jesus being manifest in the flesh. It's God himself. He's there doing this incredible thing. And he doesn't entrust himself. It says when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was long away from the land. Beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. Let me encourage you today, the God that you serve. This is not just some fairy tale, Hercules and Zeus story. This is the God of all existence who walked on top of the water. And to show you how real it was, he had one of the apostles get off so he can show you just for sure that this was not a trick. There was no magic here. There was no light land sitting right underneath the surface. I saw a YouTube video, King Bach. I think some of y'all might know him. He was running on the water. He's running, but you could tell the camera's at an angle and that there was the water, there was a surface, there was a little bit of land right underneath. You could tell very easily. God allowed one of his chosen to be on the boat. He allowed one of his chosen sovereignly in time, the perfect timing, to reach out and ask a favor, to the Lord to command him to do something, and you'll see why. Timing is everything in the Word, right? But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And I don't know if he said it with the inflection that I just said it with. I don't know if he said it like that. He could have said it very softly and calmly. Knowing Jesus in his spirit the way I know it, he probably said it real calmly. It's okay. It's all right. Take heart. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered, here it is. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Such an intentional moment from God himself, where he allows this guy to get out of the boat. Why did, out of all things, out of all the times he could have asked to do something, well, in that moment where the wind is going crazy, I heard a great preacher say he preferred to be in the presence of the Lord rather than on the boat in this crazy storm, even though he saw where the Lord was. He had come to that place where he knew, it's better I get next to you. Whatever caused him to do it, he stepped off the boat. How many of us have come to the moment, you are not Paul, you're not Peter, you're not Jesus for sure. How many of us have come to the moment where we have stepped into some waters of life that feel a little uncertain? How you navigate that moment is truly dependent on how much you trust in the Lord. The doors that open up for you are going to be dependent on how much you trust in the Lord. And when I talk about doors, I'm not talking about finance. No, if you're hearing that, I don't know who you think I am. I'm talking about the gifts and the promises that God has made readily available if you're willing to receive them. Isaiah 23:6, those that keep their minds on the Lord will have perfect peace. I say this scripture to my son often, just like Solomon spoke to his son in the early scriptures. Why do I say these things often and remind my son and teach him before he goes to bed? Right, Proverbs 3:5-6, what does it say? John 1:1, what does it say? Revelations 21:10, what does it say? And we go through this, and why do we do that? Because I want my son to stand on solid ground in a world that's full of shaky mess. I want my son to have the power of God as he navigates life. Is my son going to be me? Absolutely not. There's only one Price Right the Second. But he will be himself in whatever field God has called him to be. I tell him all the time, man, you may not be a pastor. You may be a financier that helps pastors do what they do. Who knows what God is going to call you to do? I have no clue. But are you willing to accept what God has called? And I can see him now formulating, thinking, hearing things that are lies because he's heard the truth. Are you teaching your children the truth of our God? Because I promise you this, if you're not, and you're letting the schools tell them who they are, you're going to find a rude awakening when they get to a certain age. And they say, I don't believe in that stuff. The Holy Spirit of God will do a work, but are you willing to be obedient, to follow him and to share, to trust him, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, not leaning on your own understanding, but in all your ways? Have you really embraced that as Americans? In all your ways, acknowledge God. Do not lean on your own understanding. Many of you here, I imagine, because you go to this church under Pastor Jason, I imagine many of you here are intellectuals. You're very intelligent. My question to you is, have you put your trust in your intellect, or is your trust in the God who created you? Some people will come back and say, well, God is the one that gave me the intellect, and I would agree. But are you depending on that intellect over what God is calling in your spirit? And how can you try the Spirit by the Spirit if you don't know the Spirit? You must be in the Word. You must be practicing righteousness. You must be surrounded by believers who can help you to navigate and keep you accountable. But it's important to ensure that you're trusting the Lord. Jesus does this incredible miracle. And the two big parts I highlighted and underlined is, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Some of us hear the story and we say, well, that wouldn't have been me. I wouldn't have been afraid. Yes, you would have. I wouldn't have ran. I would have got on the boat and I would have walked to Jesus like this. I would have been just fine. No, you wouldn't have. You would have been out there, oh God. You know why I know? Because right now in life, if something goes just a little bit wrong, you go crazy. And somebody's saying, no, I don't. That's awesome. That means you're trusting in the Lord. If you found yourself in situations, just this morning before I came to preach, I got a call that one of my greatest mentors succumbed to COVID-19 at 2 a.m. last night. Right before I stepped foot in the church, my spirit went down. You know who I had to rely on to get me back in my mind where I need to be? I had to rely on the Lord Jesus. Whether you're in school, or at work, at home, with your family, whatever you are dealing with, God says, will you trust me? Because I will give you peace. I will help you navigate the waters of life. And in the end, all in the grave will come out, some to eternal life and some to eternal condemnation. Will you trust me enough to know that you're good? Will you believe in me? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? All these things. I love how John 1:12 talks about us being children of God and puts our relationship with God in proper perspective. We're children of God, right? And because we're children of God, he loves us and he gives us good gifts. You are a child of God. If you're taking notes, write that down to remind yourself and encouragement. If you don't know it, I am a child of God. Sometimes we need to be reminded. You have your ID that says a number, a specific amount of numbers on it. It tells you where, who you are, where you live, your height, and most times it's wrong because you've either gained weight or lost weight. It's definitely wrong. You raise your hand, I raise my hand too because mine says like 225, and that's a lie. Because Lord knows the reason I was scared that bunk bed was going to blow up because I'm 250, and I know I'm not happy with it. I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning working on it 3 times a week. I'm eating. I've changed my eating. Why? Because I want to be all God called me to be. I want to be a good steward of what I have. And I look at Pastor Jason and say, man, you can't be looking that good at the age you're at, but you're a young man. And then I'm looking like I'm looking. I got to keep on working. And trust me, I don't. It's not a works righteousness, but I know this good fruit produced. I want to handle and take care of this temple God has given me while I'm here. How are you handling and taking care of the responsibilities God has given you in your life? We're children of God. Because you're a child of God, he's called you to consistency. Because you're a child of God, he's called you to consistency in the way you practice righteousness. Are you willing to keep practicing on a daily basis? It's important that we have the right relationship with Jesus. I was watching in the news, and I'm just about done. Coach Monty Williams, some of you all may not care about NBA. I'm not going to go down the route of going through an example of basketball. But he's a coach for a team that's about to win a championship, hopefully. Whether they win or not, he's got them to a place they haven't been in years. Here's what I love about this guy now. I was reading this article this week, just talking about how he talks to his players and just talking about his faith because it was on display. You could see it in the way he handles his people. It said that his wife had died in a tragic car accident in 2016 by a guy who was high on methamphetamines. Three of his kids was in the car at the time. And he spoke for her eulogy. And at the eulogy, he began to call out, man, I don't like this circumstance and situation, the way it happened. But I trust the God who created my wife. I trust the God who created me. He began to quote Romans. He says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Why am I excited about that? Because his faith was on display. There's nothing fake about a tragic moment where you're standing there and you can say, God, I'm sick of you. And instead, you say, God, I trust you. Because you know you've read from the record, and the record says, God is trustworthy. God is faithful. When we look at the stories like the walking on the water, it's a reminder that God is sovereign. Not only is God sovereign, but he's holy. And he leads and directs our path if we trust him. Coach Monty trusted in God and put his actions on display. Put his actions on display. The final thing, Jesus is trustworthy. How do we trust him? The way you trust him is very simple. You believe in him. You follow him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commands. In these two, you fulfill them all, but they're not easy. They're not easy. We just moved into my neighborhood a few weeks ago. We got our first house. God blessed us with our first house. After COVID, after a church plant, God blessed us. But our first house we just purchased. We moved in, and with a matter of 2 weeks, we've already had the first person in our neighborhood ask us, hey, can my child be dedicated, and can you please baptize me? What I say is something's on display. When you come home, are you still living what you profess to believe? When you're in your yard and you're talking to your kids, are you aware that somebody might be listening to you? Especially if the verdict's out that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. What I love about our Lord is that though we fall, he continues to keep us and guide us and direct us. Though we find ourselves in some awkward positions, God wants to build us up to where we don't get in those positions again. But he's faithful. He's faithful despite. He's faithful, and his word says if you trust in him, do not lean on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. He will direct your path. You trust him by reading your word. You trust him, and I'm going to make sure my time is right. Jason, I feel my time is up, and my clock went off. There we go. Got 42 seconds. You trust him. I'm a stickler with this word. I know you didn't have to do that. Yes, I did. So you trust him by reading the word. You trust him by being involved in serving. You trust him by following the Spirit when he urges you and pushes you to do different things. There are some veterans in the faith that know when God pushes you and you take those steps of faith like Peter. You step off and you begin to walk because you know the Spirit of God is urging you and pushing you and driving you, but you only do it because you're seasoned. You've read the word. You've seen how they operated. Fresh off the Spirit, falling on. And so you listen to the Lord. You allow the Lord to drive you. You allow wise counsel to lead you. It's over. You allow wise counsel to lead you. And I'd be remiss to leave without saying this specific thing, John 3:16. It's a verse we quote a lot, some we take out of context. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm grateful I can trust that the Lord has saved me. I am born again because of what Jesus has done on the cross. I'm born again and I have new life. I can preach what I preach, and I only preach what I preach because of what Jesus has done. They put him on that cross. They bloodied him. They beat the mess out of him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They did not kill him, though. At the end of the day, he hung his head. He said, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. Before he went, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They put him on the cross because he equaled himself to God, they said in their own words. He equaled himself to God. Before Abraham was, I am. That's what he said. He's very present help. He's a very present active help. And then when he went to that cross and he died and the curtain was torn and new access was given, what happened? 3 days later, with them even putting a guard in front of his tomb, 3 days later, he still came out of that grave. And because he came out of that grave, now we have new life. We have something to cling on to in the moments of darkness when the world is feeling shaky like that waterbed. We have something to grab onto. Why? Because our God is not dead. He is very much alive. You can check any religion and you'll find their leaders are in the grave covered by 6 feet of dirt, maybe a little less, and maybe they were scattered across the sea. But our Lord is in the presence. He's right there at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, advocating for us when the enemy says, you're a liar, you're a manipulator, you're a cheater, because there's one of those in every single row, including myself. And God says, that is my child. They're covered by the blood of Jesus. Is anybody in the room covered by the blood of Jesus? Covered by the blood. And because of that, he went, he ascended. This is the end, last thing. I'm 5 minutes over or something. He said, before he ascended, this is the last service of the day. I'm just about done. Before he ascended, he said, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. Right now, you have access to the Holy Spirit. This ain't nothing to get weird about. It's something for you to go to the scriptures and keep listening to Pastor Jason. The Holy Spirit is here with us now. Don't ignore the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore the pressing of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he's telling you to come serve, come live, come do what you've been called to do. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is trustworthy. I pray you will keep trusting him with all your heart, not leaning on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledging God so that he can direct your path. I want to pray. Father God, we thank you this day for your wonderful word. Oh, I thank you, Father, for the good news that we have life. We have life in you. We find satisfaction and peace in you. Thank you, God, that you've saved our souls. You've redeemed us, God. You've atoned for our sin. Father, for the pay for sin is death. And we were all born into sin. The pay for that sin is death. But God, your free gift is eternal life. Today, I pray that your people would hear that and they would receive that. I pray for Pastor Jason and for this church that it would continue to thrive and do great things. I pray for those that heard the message today and feel like they need to take a step towards the direction of serving him here at Life Connection, towards the direction of receiving you, towards baptism. I pray that they would get with the leaders and they would take that step. Holy Spirit, keep doing what only you can do. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church say, amen.
So every week we take part in the Lord's Supper because of what Christ said, because Jesus is faithful and trustworthy. And so if you have given your life over to Christ, then this is an opportunity to worship him. To be reminded of his great faithfulness and his trustworthiness toward us. And so you can find the communion packet somewhere around you, peel that top layer off. You'll find the wafer that represents his broken body for you. Underneath that is the juice, which represents his blood shed for us. So as you feel led, you can take part in the Lord's Supper, worshiping Jesus for all that he's done.